Shalom everyone. Please take your Bibles today. Once again, we are going today to just divert for this special occasion of the Feast of Shavuot. We are going to divert from our normal ministry meeting on the book of Nehemiah. And I would like you all please to turn with me to the book of Leviticus first of all. And I would like to read some verses from Leviticus, Vayikra in Hebrew, chapter 23, in connection with the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or as it's known in the Greek, the Feast of Pentecost. I want you to look at a chart behind me on the overhead, and this is the chart that we have been using more than once in our study of the feasts that God had given our nation Israel. And I would like you today just to read with me or follow me as I'm reading the verses from Leviticus 23 and a few verses in the New Covenant, the Brit HaChadashah, some of the verses from the book of Acts. And I think it is very helpful for us to understand in the program of God the way in which He had planned when He gave Israel, our nation, those seven feasts of the Lord in Leviticus chapter 23. Just read with me, follow me in verse 15 to verse 21. I'm going to read those verses. Verse 15 says, in fact, I'll read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 23 first of all. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. Elehem Moadai, God said to Moses and to Israel. Now verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the mow after the Shabbat, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Shabbats, or Sheva Shabbatot, shall be complete, even unto the mow after the seventh Shabbat shall ye number 50 days. That's where you get in the Greek the word Pentecost. The number is 50 days. The number is 50. And ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, 1 young bullock, 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meal offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then, notice verse 19, ye shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for the wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. Verse 21, and ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Just put your finger here and turn with me to the book of Acts. We read earlier in chapter 1, but I want to read the first 4 verses of Acts chapter 2 as well in the reading for this ministry meeting, Acts chapter 2, and let me just read those first 4 verses in this chapter. And we read in Acts chapter 2, the Brit HaChadasha, the new covenant. We read there in verse 1, and when the days of Pentecost, or Shavuot in Hebrew, or weeks in English, and Pentecost in Greek, namely 50, and when the days of 50 of weeks was fully come, they were all with one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I think I'm going to stop right here because I will have some other verses to connect with it, so it will be helpful for us to understand. If you would have been living in Israel today, if you and I would have been in the land of Israel today, just after the evening tonight, Israel, you know, there are 7 hours ahead of us, and the Feast of Shavuot is surely going to begin very shortly. The Feast of what we call it today in North America and the world around, Pentecost. But as far as the Hebrew scripture is concerned, it simply means the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Shavuot. And the number 50 is a very important number because that's the number that is mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23. Now, as you look at this chart, I know it's a bit difficult because of the light, but we will leave the light as it is for right now. This is the chart that we have been using in the past, and we can use it in the present time to show us the ways in which God, in His grace, have given Israel, His people, those 7 feasts of the Lord. Beautiful to see them, and it's really to see that there is a program, there is a plan, there is a process whereby God presents Israel His plan, not only for Israel the nation, but for the whole nations of the world, because God ultimately intended to bless the nations of the world using the chosen people, namely the nation of Israel. And so you notice in the middle here, we have the 7 feasts. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Shavuot, Weeks, Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and ultimately the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles. All those 7 feasts were given to Israel for a purpose. It was not only given to Israel, so Israel will keep it, you might say, for themselves, but through that, God is intending to be a blessing to all the nations of the world, because in every feast, it points out to an event that is going to occur in human history. Number 1, in relationship to the Messiah that was going to come. Number 2, in relationship to the people of Israel. And number 3, in relationship to all humanity. When it's come to the relationship to the Messiah, number 1, Passover speaks of His death. Number 2, speaks of His sanctification. Number 3, speaks of His resurrection. And number 4, that's what we are here today talking about, the Feast of Weeks. It speaks about the descending of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, which is in the present, or you say in the Feast of Pentecost, He will come down to this earth and will unite all believers into one single body called the body of Mashiach. Later on in the future day, the Feast of Trumpet, Israel, physical restoration, the Day of Atonement, Israel, spiritual regeneration, and finally, the Feast of Tabernacles speak about the Messianic Kingdom. And the future day when the whole world will be enjoying a time of 1,000 years reign of the Messiah Himself. And this is yet in the future day. Today, beloved brothers and sisters, I would like to speak a little bit about the Feast of Shavuot. Now look at us here in this room. Some of us are coming from Israel. Some of us are Jewish. Some of us are non-Jewish. Every one of us have accepted the Messiah, and I trust all of us are believers here in this room. When we have accepted the Messiah Yeshua, what happened to us? We immediately have entered into a relationship with the Lord. But not only an individual relationship with the Lord, we have also become part of a company, a group of people who are believers in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Could be a Jewish person, could be a Gentile, can be a person who lives in Israel, in Canada, in the United States, in Africa, Arabic country, the former Soviet Union. We are coming from all over the nations of the world, but one thing we have in common. We all are sinners by nature who have been saved on the basis of the finished work of Yeshua the Messiah. And the second thing that we have in common, we all receive the Holy Spirit of God to indwell us and to, you might say, baptize us or place us into a company of believers called the body of Christ, the body of Messiah. But it was not an accident. It didn't happen just like this, because God, in His divine program, giving the seven feasts to our people of old Israel, He had planned it. He knew it was going to happen. It was not an accident. It was something, an event that will have a beginning at a certain point of time of history, and it continue on until the Lord will restore Israel as a nation in a future day. I don't have to tell you that the vast majority of our nation, Israel, are still without the Messiah. They are still, you might say, away from the purposes and the will of God for the nation. So God knew that. He has seen it all along in His wisdom, and He planned, you might say, in His program to bring about a period of time in which you and I live in that is called the time of the, you may say, the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. The Messiah have come and became the Passover Lamb. He died. The Messiah lived a perfect life in a feast of unleavened bread. The Messiah was resurrected and ascended to heaven. After 3 days, He rose, and after 40 days, He have ascended to heaven. That's it. Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, is no longer on earth. He's in heaven now because of His work was fully complete, and He is in the presence of God. And so the time in which we live in, because the Feast of Trumpet haven't started, our Jewish people are still scattered around the world. We live in that period of time from here into this time of the sowing and the reaping, the preaching of the message of the gospel, and the presentation of Yeshua the Messiah to the world around. And you and I are the fruit of the labor of many others that have already sown the seed in past history. Now, how do we see it so clearly in the Bible? I always, when I read these texts, it's like an eye-opening for me. And I'm sure it is for you. As you read the text from the Scripture, you're going to see that there is a divine hand. The Spirit of God is the one that wrote the Scripture. And it's not the work of men. It's not an opinion of human race. It is God in His wisdom had placed it in Scripture to show us that He is the one who is the overseeing over all the things that are going on in this world. The providence of God. He is in charge of the events in this world. So Leviticus chapter 23, the whole chapter is devoted to seven mo'adim, seven appointments, seven celebration, seven feasts that God gave His people Israel. And as He was giving them those feasts, every one of them pointed to something fresh and new and special. Well, we said in verses 1 and 2 that the Lord spake unto Moses. Leviticus 23, 1 and 2, He says, these are the feasts that belong to Me. Notice verse 2, at the end it said, these are My feasts. Hamoadim sheli, they belong to Me. You will have to follow the moadim that I have given to you, the people of Israel. So the first verses, we didn't read them. We could see of the first three feasts that had been given to the people of Israel. But from verse 15 on, I want to highlight a few things just for our information and enlightenment. Perhaps You have already studied this many times, and you know that, but I think it is very refreshing to see the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. First of all, notice verse 15 and verse 16. Moses gives to Israel instruction as to the counting of the days that will reach to the feast of Shavuot. Notice that. I'm reading verses 15 and 16a. And ye, Israel, shall count unto you from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Shabbatot. Sheva Shabbatot. 7 times 7 is 49 days. And then it says in verse 16a, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. You see, interesting that somehow God said to Moses to say to the people of Israel that Israel should count Sheva Shabbatot, 7 times 7 plus 1, namely 50. He gives us the Hebrew word here, 50 day, chamishim yom, in verse 16a. Now, there is a conflict that the religious leaders of our own people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, over when these days will begin to be counted. Because it does say, you start to count it from after the morrow after the Shabbat. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees have a conflict about this, and that's why the counting would be a little bit different by one group and by another group. The Pharisees believe that that Shabbat has to do with the high Shabbat of the Passover, because the Passover was just celebrated. On the other hand, the Sadducees believe that their Shabbat is the ordinary seventh day of the week, the Shabbat day. So there was a conflict between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Purushim and the Tzdukim. The one felt that it is from the actual feast of Pesach, who became a high Shabbat day. The other group believed that it was from the seventh day of the week, namely the Shabbat day. From the morrow after, you count 50 days. Whichever way one looks at it, the point is that God is giving to Israel a time in which they are to count 50 days. We call it Shavuot because they are 7 times 7, 7 times weeks. 7 times 7 simply means Shavuot in Hebrew. Sheva Shavuot. And that's why it's called in Hebrew the Feast of Weeks. And so you count 50 days. So the Passover was celebrated. The unleavened bread was celebrated. The feast of first fruit was celebrated. And 50 days after, something was going to happen. Now, what was going to happen? Why is it so special that on that day, Israel is to celebrate a special time, a special period in Israel's history? Well, we understand it, and we're going to see it in a moment, that because God has a program and a plan, and God knows everything from the beginning to the end, by giving to our forefathers those seven feasts, He's proclaiming to Israel not only a yearly cycle, but a plan that He has for the whole human race. The Messiah will come, and then later on He will die and will be resurrected. But something else was going to happen, and that's why those 50 days the Feast of Pentecost was pointed to. And you see now in verse 16b, Moses gave Israel the reason that they need to count 50 days. Why should they count 49 plus 1 days? Why should they count 50, Pentecost, Shavuot? Why? Look at verse 16b. Here is the reason. He's saying to them, because on that day, you, notice it says in verse 16b, ye shall offer a new meal offering. Ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. Not the ordinary meal offering. In Hebrew, the word meal offering simply means mincha. not an ordinary mincha, which you have to offer every time before the Lord, but this time, Israel, I want you to offer to me a new meal offering. And I underline the word new. The word in Hebrew, of course, is mincha chadasha. It's a new meal offering. Now God is telling Israel, you know, after 50 days, I want you to offer something new to me. In Hebrew, mincha chadasha le'adonai. Not the regular one that you offer all the time, but I want you to offer a new meal offering unto Jehovah, unto le'Yehovah, as it says here in verse 16b. Well, so he told them, first of all, to count 50 days from after the Shabbat. Now he tells them the reason for that, because the reason that you count 50 Shavuot is because I want you at that time, exactly 50 days after, to offer before me a new meal offering. Not the ordinary one now, but a new meal offering. And so now, brothers and sisters, notice in verse 17, Moses explains a little bit. You know, it's so wonderful when God explains itself. We don't need to go outside of the scripture. We don't even need to go outside to history, though history is very important. But the Bible explains itself. Many times when we study the book of Revelation, there are so many symbols there that it's very difficult to understand the time. But scripture interprets itself. We don't need to ask anybody else. We got to go back to the Bible. We got to go back to the Hebrew scriptures. We got to go back to the Word of God and seek the Lord's help with the help of the Spirit of God to glean from the Word what says the scripture about a certain text. Well, Moses is very explicit. He tells them in verse 17, he explained, what does that mean? What is that new meal offering? This mincha. Chadasha. And so let's read it. Verse 17. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be, listen to that, bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Now, this is something that is extremely interesting in this verse 17. Number one, and if you can look at this picture, you can see how interesting it is. The 2 wave loaves, it may be very hard to see it from afar. And here's the high priest present 2 wave loaves. Not one, but 2. But the second thing that is very important that Moses explained it, the Lord told Moses to explain it to the people of Israel, that these 2 wave loaves must be with leaven. Now that's interesting. This is extremely interesting, beloved brothers and sisters. Those wave loaves that the high priest is to offer before the Lord on that feast of Shavuot must be 2 rather than only 1. Number 2, it must be with leaven in them. In Hebrew is chametz, leaven, yeast. And yeast in the Bible, leaven in the Bible always speaks to us of sin. Now it is so interesting that at this particular time, the feast of Pentecost, Chamishim, Shavuot, the one that speaks to us of really something that was going to happen in a future day from Israel's point of view, Israel is now to offer those 2 wave loaves, and they must be with leaven, and they are called the first fruits unto the Lord. Now, if you just turn with me back to Leviticus chapter 2 for a moment. I'd like to make a point there that I think is very important to make. Leviticus chapter 2. You see, Leviticus, in Hebrew, Vayikra, is the book that is oftentimes called the book of approach. The book of Exodus speaks of exiting out of the land of Egypt. But the book of Leviticus is a book of approach. How can Israel approach a holy God? How can a sinful nation approach a holy God? How can you and I approach a holy God, because you and I are sinful people by nature. We were born in sin. David says, in sin did my mother conceive me. Paul Shaul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how can we, how can men, how can Israel approach a living God? Well, they couldn't approach with anything that symbolized sin, because God is holy. And so in Leviticus chapter 2, look at this, and I'm reading this about the meal offering, the ordinary meal offering that Israel was to offer. And let me read some of the verses beginning from verse 1. And when any will offer a meal offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it unto Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereof his handful of flour and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now, if you just go down a little bit, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 11, look what it says there. No meal offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. For ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering of the Lord made by fire. You see, God is very clear. Israel could bring no offering unto the Lord with anything that has to do with leaven. Because leaven, you ladies know, you who bake, leaven speaks to us of that which is rises up. It speaks of pride. It speaks of arrogance. It speaks of sin. No leaven to be included in the normal meal offering. In fact, beloved brothers and sisters, Israel just celebrated the feast of, after the Passover here, the unleavened bread. For weeks, the Jewish people would have to clean the house from anything that has to do with leaven. And no leaven was to be offered on the ordinary or included in the ordinary meal offering, because leaven speaks of sin. But now, it's so interesting the way the Bible is presenting, the Hebrew Scripture presenting. Moses, in his wisdom that he received from the Lord, is telling to the people of Israel, he is explaining to our own nation. And he said to them in Leviticus 23, verse 17, that this new meal offering is to be presented before the Lord not as one loaf anymore, as it would be in the ordinary meal offering, but two loaves. And both of them are to be presented before the Lord by the priest, and they must have leaven in them. In contrast to Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 11, where it was specifically said that no leaven is to be there. Now, what is the difference? There's a clear message here, because the one, Leviticus 2, speaks of Yeshua, the Messiah, in his life. He was sinless. He was undefiled. He was separate from sinners. He was the Holy One that was born of the Virgin Miriam. There was no sin in him whatsoever. But you and I, we have inherited a sin nature, by virtue of being a descendant of Adam and Eve. And those two loaves here that are represented here is the fact that you and I, or believers in the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, are being seen in the eyes of God through the work of the Messiah as the ones that are being presented before the Lord. And that leaven that must be inside represent, you might say, and you and I are really proof to it, Jewish and Gentiles, believers who are saved and forgiven because of the work that Yeshua, the Messiah, had accomplished for us. And so he says, again, I would like to say, beloved brothers and sisters, you and I did not invent the seven feasts of the Lord. Before you and I were born, and before our fathers and our mothers and our forefathers were born, God gave it to our own nation 3,500 years ago. In His providence, He knows His plan. He is the one who conducts things here in this world. So, verse 17 is a clear explanation. What is the new meal offering? Not the ordinary one. The new meal offering is made out of two loaves, and in these two loaves there will be leaven, and those are to be presented before the Lord. But now I want you to notice that. How is it possible that leaven is going to be presented before the Lord, which really represent Israel, the Jewish people, the Gentile world, believers from among all these nations, presented before the Lord? How can God accept us? How can God accept sinners who are by nature and by practice are far from God? Well, He can only accept us on the basis of the blood that had been shed by the Lamb of God. And you notice it says in verse 18 and 19 now, in our chapter, you notice that they could not celebrate that feast without blood to be shed. And I want you to notice in these two verses, 18 and 19 of Leviticus chapter 23, Moses instructs Israel to offer those two loaves with blood sacrifice. Otherwise, he could not offer them. Look at this, verse 18, and I'm reading. And he shall offer with the bread. That bread are the two loaves. You can offer with these two loaves. Then he began to give us a list of sacrifices that Israel was to offer. It says in verse 18, seven lambs. Notice that without blemish. Without blemish, brothers and sisters. You remember what we read in 1 Peter chapter 1? And verse 18, and I'll read that for a second. I just want to make sure that I'm conveying it as I'm reading that text. You see what it says? Peter said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Mashiach, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, there is spots and blemish in me and in you. But there is no spot or blemish in our blessed Lord, Yeshua, the Messiah. So he's saying to them, and I'm reading again verse 18 of Leviticus chapter 23. "Ye shall sacrifice," he's telling them, "ye shall offer with that bread," the two loaves here, "seven lambs without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock, and two rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meal offering." Notice that again it mentioned meal offering, but the meal offering of verse 18 is not these two wave loaves that has leaven in them. That meal offering is the one that we read about in Leviticus chapter 2, which speaks of the Messiah's perfection and holiness. There was no leaven in him whatsoever. He continued in verse 18b, "And their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord." In verse 19, "And he shall sacrifice one kid of the goats for a sin offering, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of a peace offering." Now you notice again, pause with me for a second. Again, to remind you that in Leviticus chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, we have five sacrifices that God requested from Israel. The burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. Those were not an accident requirements from our people of old Israel. Every one of these sacrifices pointed to the Mashiach. When the Messiah will come, he will be the burnt offering. He will be the meal offering. He will be the one that will be make peace, the peace offering, the shalom. He will be the one that will be this, become the sin offering. And he will be the one who will become the trespass offering. Every sacrifice pointed to our Mashiach that will come in the fullness of time. And so we read of him here in verses 18 and 19. When ye shall sacrifice, you notice he says in verse 19, then ye shall sacrifice a kid of the goats for a sin offering. You see, brothers and sisters, listen. Every sin that you and I have committed, somebody had to pay for that. In biblical time, the lamb, or in this case it says the kid of the goats, he had to die so the nation of Israel would be accepted. He made atonement, covering for the sin of the nation, temporarily until the Messiah will come in the fullness of time. But not only that, the last offering here that we have in verse 19, for a sacrifice of a peace offering. The word peace offering in Hebrew is shalom or shlamim. Colossians 1 verse 20 says, he have made shalom through the blood of his cross, of his tree. When Yeshua died for us, he made peace for us. He made it possible for us to receive shalom because of the fact that he paid for the price of Israel's sin, in our cases, our sins, when he died for us. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, in the program of God, Israel could not come to celebrate the feast of Shavuot, the feast of weeks, without blood atonement. The burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the meal offering without blood. This is a bloodless sacrifice which speaks to us of the life of the Messiah. He was sinless, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And so now notice verse 20. After Moses gave this explanation, and by the way, just bear with me. What does the Bible say of the necessity of blood? If you just take a couple of pages back, go back to Leviticus 17 and verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. God again remind Israel, why does he need blood sacrifice? He says in verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it unto you upon the altar, al hamizbeach, to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. In other words, the blood that was shed of an innocent animal made a covering of the souls of our own people, the Hebrews. And why it only made atonement? Because it was temporary. It was a foreshadowing the coming of the Messiah in the fullness of time. And when Yeshua the Messiah came, John 1:29, Yohanan Hamadbil, John the Baptizer, says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. Not only cover, not only make atonement, but he removes it totally from the presence of a holy and a righteous God. So now please back to verse 20 of Leviticus chapter 23. Moses now instructs the priests to wave those two loaves that are with leaven. You see, these are called new meal offerings, not the ordinary one. That's why I'm making this point more than once. I distinguish, or the Bible distinguish, between the ordinary meal offering that speaks of the Messiah and the new meal offering that speaks of you and I, who are sinners by nature, that are being presented before the Lord on the basis of the blood that was shed. And so in verse 20, he gives instruction. Look at this. It says in verse 20, and the priest, what is the priest going to do? He shall wave them, notice the plurality, wave them with the bread. The word them now has to do with the lambs that were just killed. The bread has to do with the wave offering, the new wave offering. He will wave it with the bread of the fruit of the wave offering before the Lord, notice, with the two lambs, and they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. So now, you know, just imagine in biblical time, the Israeli priest would approach the Lord in the presence of the Lord, and he will take two loaves, which he ordinarily will never take with leaven. But this time he's bringing, every year cycle, he's bringing on a feast of Shavuot, the feast of week, he's bringing two loaves and he wave it. And yet, as it says here, you notice in verse 20, it says that it will be before the Lord and they shall be holy, set apart for the Lord, and the, also the priest himself will be the one who will feed on these loaves. That reminds us, beloved brothers and sisters, that on the basis of that program of God, God is now receiving two-wave loaves that have leaven in them, representing a sinful nation, Israel. But by virtue of the fact that these two loaves representing the nation of Israel, or believers among the nation of Israel, believers among the Gentile world, are presented before the Lord and accepted. Why they accepted? Because blood was shed. And now they can approach the Lord and be in fellowship with Him because of the work that had been done by the animals that were killed. Whether it is the burnt offering, the sin offering, the peace offering, all the blood that was shed. Can you imagine how much blood was shed even on that day of Shavuot, Pentecost? But the main lesson that we learn, beloved brothers and sisters, is the two-wave loaves, not one, and number two, they must have leaven in them, representing the sinfulness of man, yet accepted on the basis of the blood of the sacrifice. Finally, here in this chapter, in verse 21, it says, and from here we're going to move to the New Testament for a few more verses. It says, and ye shall proclaim on the self same day, it says here, a holy convocation unto you, ye shall do no servile work therein, and it shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. Israel, God is saying to Israel through Moses, three things in verse 21. Number one is going to be holy convocation, a unique day, Mikra Kodesh. It's a special day. Number two, he said it's going to be no work going to be done, and therefore it's a time, it's like a high Shabbat as well. No manner of work will be done. And thirdly, it ought to be kept as a statute forever. That's why it says here, Brit or Chukat Olam. It's going to be forever, as the nation of Israel will celebrate this as a nation. And you notice that because it is coming right here, 50 days after those earlier feasts. From here on now, there is a long period of time in which you and I live in, actually today, in this verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 23, waiting yet the day of Israel restoration that may happen at any moment as 2,000 years pass by since Yeshua the Messiah have come. Okay, so now we read from Leviticus 23. Now turn to the Brit HaChadasha, to the New Testament. And first of all, turn to Acts chapter 1. Now again, the Messiah has come. He became the Lamb of God. He became the Passover Lamb. He was the one that had been typified in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the sinlessness in the Messiah. He was the one that is represented by the first fruits. He was the one who rose from among the dead. And he is just about ready to go to heaven. So in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, it says in verse 4, it says those words, listen, being assembled together with them. You see, he died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. And he is now just about ready to be taken to heaven. So it says here in verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them, this is the Jewish believers of first century, the apostles, the disciples, and those that have accepted him, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but that they should wait for the promise of the Father. Haftachat ha'Abba, the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And then verse 7, Yeshua answered, and he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall be my witnesses. Notice that. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 9 says, And when he had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sights. Now imagine the scene, beloved brothers and sisters. The feast of Pesach just ended. The Messiah celebrated the feast of Pesach, and then he became the Passover lamb. Yeshua from Nazareth, who was born to the Virgin Miriam, became that Lamb of God who just died on a Roman cross. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. And now he gathered, after he rose, before he went to heaven, he gathered the disciples together and he sat with them. And you notice what they were concerned. They asked him, you know, he came to him and he first of all said to them, you know, I want you to go to the city of Jerusalem. They were on Mount Olives. They were only had to cross the valley there, the valley of Kidron, and get up to the Mount of Moriah, to the city of Jerusalem. He says, I want you to go back to the city of Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. You know this expression? The promise of the Father. What is that promise of the Father? Remember, Yeshua was the Son. And he was speaking about the promise of God the Father. What was the promise of God the Father? The promise of God the Father is the Holy Spirit of God, Ruach HaKodesh, the person of the Holy Spirit of God, whom the Father had promised, God the Father had promised to send to this world and to unite all believers into one body. And then he said, notice that, he said, John baptized you with water. Yohanan HaMatbil, he did it. He put you into the water. He put you under the water, identifying with repentance. He says, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not too many days later. Now notice he used the word days. Why days? Because he knew his Bible. He wrote the word. He knew that there were days to be counted to a time that will come when the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, will be poured down upon this earth. And in his person, not only using individual for certain ministry, he himself will come down to this earth and will replace the ministry that Yeshua had begun with. That is the promise of the Father. This is important to understand. Now, just hold on there and go to John chapter 14 with me, please. John chapter 14 and verse 16, 17, and 18. Look at the promise of God the Father. The promise of the Father. John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and 18. It says in verse 16, And I will pray the Father, Yeshua is speaking at the upper room, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, Ruach HaEmet, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So here's the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father, Yeshua said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you, notice the word, another comforter. Another one of the same kind. You see, I'm ready to go, Yeshua is saying. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to return to my Father, to the Father's house. And another comforter will come. And what is the Father? What is the comforter? Who is the comforter? Is a person, namely Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God. He was going to come. And He was going now to come down and to baptize, you might say, put under or put together a body of believers. You see, the vast majority of Israel did not accept Yeshua as the Messiah. There was a small minority who have accepted Him in first century. The apostles and those who are the early believers. They are the ones who share the gospel around the world. And you and I are benefiting from their ministry of these early Jewish believers. But they needed the power of the Holy Spirit of God to present the message of the gospel. And the person of the Spirit of God to unite believers into one group, one company, called the Ecclesia, the body of Messiah. And so go back to Acts chapter 1 with me, please. Here is this known to be as the new meal offering mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23. What is the new meal offering? It's a representation or combination of Jew and Gentile who are sinners by nature, but saved and forgiven, that have been put into one body. The Spirit of God will do so. And so he read in chapter 1, in verse 5, ye shall be baptized or put together or put under or put into not many days hence by the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. And so the disciples asked him another question. They said to him, when therefore they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? See, the disciples didn't understand in a clear way. You and I have a lot more light because we have the complete canon of Scripture in our hand. But they did not understand. As far as they were concerned, they wanted Israel as a nation to be restored. And the kingdom is given to the nation of Israel. And they would have loved to see all the Jewish people restored back to the land. The Messiah is reigning. Israel is in that favored place that God had intended for them. But this is still waiting to hear, to the Feast of Tabernacle. We are still here in the Feast of Shavuot. It was too early for the future restoration of all the nation. This is waiting for the Messianic Kingdom, which is represented by the Feast of Tabernacle, Chag Sukkot. So the Lord had to instruct them here that they are not here as yet. They are in this present time of the Feast of Weeks. And so, beloved, look at this. And I'm reading verse 7. It is not for you to know the time nor the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And He began to tell them of what was going to happen when the Holy Spirit of God would come to unite them into one body and to baptize them, put them in order that they will now begin this new wave offerings. And so he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria? Wait a minute. According to John 4 and verse 9, the Jewish people have no dealing with the Samaritan, the Shomronim. The Lord had to teach His disciples that He's also going to reach out to the Shomronim, to the Samaritans. And He surely did. You remember, many have accepted the Messiah in the early days of the Messiahship when Yeshua was here on earth. And He continued in verse 8 at the end, He said, into the uttermost parts of the earth. Can you imagine that you and I today are recipient of the message that had been began in Jerusalem, continue in Judea, went further on to Samaria, to the Shomron, and even you and I today have accepted the work that Yeshua had accomplished for us and had been brought in to become part of a body of believers, represented by the two loaves here, with leaven united into that one body called the body of Messiah. And you notice that after he told them that in verse 9, when he had spoken these things, they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, if he was going to establish the Messianic kingdom then and there, why would he go back to heaven? He was already there. He died on a tree. He was buried and he resurrected. He could have established the Messianic kingdom then and there. But it's not the program yet. There is a program that God has set before Israel and before the world. He had to die, Passover. He was a pure man, unleavened bread. He had to be resurrected, the Feast of First Fruit. But now he is building that body of believers, beginning from the Jewish people in Jerusalem, Judea, onward to the Shomronim, the Samaritan, and even further into the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where you and I come in. And to put us together as a body of believers. Now let me just bear with me for 5 more minutes. Turn to chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Here we see the coming now of the Holy Spirit of God to form that feast, you might say, to form that body of believers, Jew and Gentiles alike, the two loaves that has leaven in them. Well, it's very clear. When did it happen? It didn't happen on a Passover day. It didn't happen on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It didn't happen on the Feast of First Fruit. It didn't happen on the Feast of Trumpet or the Day of Atonement or the Feast of Sukkot. It happened exactly as the Lord planned it in his program. It happened on the 50th day after the Shabbat from the Passover days on the Feast of Shavuot. And you notice chapter 2 of Acts. And verse 1 tells us the time. When did the Holy Spirit of God came to form that one or the new wave meal offering? Well, it happened at Pentecost. And when the days of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were still not that one body as yet. They were individual Jewish believers. In fact, we know how many of them. If you look at verse 15 of chapter 1, there were only 120 of them there. 120 Jewish people in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem. Then it says in verse 2, suddenly. Verse 2 gives us the descending of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Suddenly it says here, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Imagine the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God would come on the Feast of Shavuot, on Pentecost, on 50 days after the Shabbat, He would come with power. It is a person, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God. You see, now listen, brothers and sisters. You see the triunity here? It was the promise of the Father, which He have given it to the Son. So He will send the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all the triunity was involved in the beginning of the ecclesia, the called out one. We would call it the church, the assembly, the congregation, the kehillah, the called out ones. And He came, what does He do? He filled the whole house. He filled the whole house where they were all sitting. They were sitting, notice they were in one accord, in one place. They were sitting together, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God, came and filled the whole house. It says in verse 3, the way, the appearance of the Holy Spirit of God was a very unique appearance, like a flame of fire. It says in verse 3, and there appeared unto them parted flames of fire. Or in another translation, it says cloven tongues, like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. Now notice, the Holy Spirit of God came upon every individual believer in that local city of Jerusalem. All the 120 believers, all of a sudden, all of them were now receiving the person of the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them and uniting them together into that one body. And in verse 4 it says, the Spirit filled them and baptized, that expression here in verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them an utterance. Now that other tongues come from the word glossa, and it simply means languages. It was not anything that was not clear to the hearing of those that heard them. You can read that in the remaining verses, from verses 1 to 11 of our chapter. It was a language that every Jewish person who came from all over the lands of this world to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, they could hear the wonderful works of God presented before them in a clear language that they understood in their mother's tongue. And you can have the list here that is mentioned here in this passage, verses 9, 10, and 11, the list of them that we have there of all the names. And what did they hear? The wonderful works of God. God now have sent His Son, the Mashiach Yeshua. He finished the work on the tree. He was buried and He rose. He fulfilled those feasts already. And He went to heaven and He's now building a company of redeemed people. And that will be including not only us Jewish people, because He told us to go to Samaria. He told us to go to the uttermost part of the earth. It will include the Goyim, the Gentiles who will fall in love with Yeshua and will embrace Him as Mashiach and Lord and Savior, and uniting us into that one single body of believers. Amazing truth to understand, brothers and sisters. That's why we don't need to go to anybody else, but let's go like the... You remember there is a program called Back to the Bible, Back to the Scripture. We need to go back to the Bible and find out what does the Scripture tells us. And sometimes we need help from the Lord because we don't understand everything. But if our hearts desire to understand the plan and the programs of God, He will assist us. He will help us. Now I'm going to close with a verse or two from Ephesians chapter 2. So turn to Ephesians chapter 2 with me and I'm going to close with it. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says there, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Now Paul, Shaul, writes to Gentiles who became believers. And he's saying to them in chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, wherefore, remember that ye being in past time or in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That in time past ye were without Mashiach, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, now that Ruach HaKodesh came down to this world and began the what is known the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Pentecost, to indwell in all believers, to put them united into one body. But now, it was in the Messiah Yeshua, verse 13, because He died, He paid for the price, ye who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, by the blood of Mashiach. For He is our Shalom, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make, listen, beloved brothers and sisters, for to make in Himself twain, one new man, so making shalom, so making peace. Let me repeat it. For to make in Himself of the twain, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. You see those two loaves, again, look at this picture. The two loaves that the high priest is holding and representing there before the Lord, but it has leaven in it. But they are accepted in the presence of God because they are in the Mashiach, in the Messiah. One new man that is called what we know, the Kehillah, the body of Mashiach. And it's so beautiful to see that He made of the twain. You see, there was a distance between us, Jewish people, and the Gentile world. This distance was produced by God because God has set up this middle wall of partition, not Israel. It was God who said to Israel to be separated from the nations of the world. But also God knew that in a certain period of time when the Messiah will come, and according to Isaiah 53, he will be rejected by our nation Israel. So what's going to be happening now? He died 2,000 years ago. Israel is not yet as a nation accepted him. Well, what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. There will be the feast of Pentecost, the feast of Shavuot. Jewish people and Gentiles will be united together into one body, so making shalom. And in this present dispensation, we have a man in heaven, namely Yeshua. And we have a divine person here on earth, namely Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of God. And we have believers from all peoples, tongues, and nations united in as one nation. And here we close with this. And he preached, notice that it says here in verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and he preached shalom, peace, to you which were far off, the Goyim, the Gentile, and to them which were nigh. This is us, the Jewish people. And through him, we both, now here's the Holy Spirit of God. And through him, we both have access by one Spirit, by one Ruach, unto the Father. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, you and I are united into that one body together, are a representation of what we have here, I should say, a proof of what he says here concerning the Feast of Pentecost. As Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized or put into one body, whether we are Jews, Jewish people, or whether we are Gentiles, whether we are bound or whether we are free, and we have been all made to drink of that one Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't know about you, I don't apologize for this because it was not my plan. It was God's plan. We are longing for Israel restoration, and that will surely happen. But in the present day dispensation, you and I, as brothers and sisters, are united together into that one body called the body of Mashiach. And we have a great privilege to be saved, forgiven, and part of the body of Messiah. May the Lord bless these thoughts to all of our hearts and keep us rejoicing in the work that Yeshua have done for us.